Well, during the break, was looking at some emails. One in from Katie, who says, I just love these open lines in the middle of the week. It's different. Well, it's fun, too, Katie. It's a different perspective of what we do on Friday night, but it's got that same similarity. So stick with us. Open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Good to be with you. George Norrie here. And on our Wednesday program, by the way, Doc Wallach joins us for a couple of hours from criticalhealthnews.com. And some just great shows for you for the rest of the week as we roll into May. Coming up on Cinco de Mayo on May 5th as well. Gosh, that's going fast. I thought last year was the fastest year I've ever had and experienced. This is it. I hope they start slowing down. They've got to start slowing down. I mean, it's crazy. Let's go to Leona in North Carolina. Welcome to the show. You coming out to Asheville, Leona?
Oh, hi, George. I'd love to. I just don't know right now financially. But
okay.
I'd like to. Anyhow, I wanted to tell you a story, and if I could, after the story, I'd like to say something about politics.
Okay.
When I was 18, I lived in Southern California, and I drove an MG Midget.
Great cars. They were cool, weren't they?
They were very cool and very tiny. And anyhow, it was a beautiful day, and I took two friends with me, and we went up above Azusa, up into the mountains. And you're not really supposed to have more than two people in, but there's like a little back area that you could sit sideways in.
Yeah.
So we went with the top off, went up there. And as we were approaching a curve in the road, the wheel started going back and forth, and I couldn't control it to go around the curve, and I really wasn't speeding. So we got thrown out. The passengers got thrown out on the road, but because I was behind the driver's wheel, I went down over 400 feet.
Oh, my God.
With the top off.
Oh!
Yeah. Before I got thrown out.
400 and, feet just plunging along.
In an MG Midget.
Oh.
Rolling and stuff.
And no seatbelts then, right?
Yeah, but if I had my seatbelt on or the top on, I would have gone all the way to the bottom.
Oh, my
definitely.
God.
Yeah. So I got thrown out at about 400 feet, and I was laying there on the side, and
you got tossed out of the car, no doubt, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was on my back on the side of this cliff, and all the rocks and everything were falling down on the sides. And I had a near-death experience. And basically, I tried to call in before when you've had people talking about NDEs.
But yeah.
What had happened to me was basically that I saw the light kind of situation, but it was more of a conversation that I had with, I don't know what it was. It was definitely a male voice, and I had the chance of either to go or to stay. And if I was to stay, what would I do? And so I said that I would help. And then shortly after that, there was a guy coming down. More rocks were falling, and he had propelled down to hold on to me while his wife had brought flagged down other cars to get the police, because back then they didn't have cell phones or anything. So another car went for help. They couldn't climb down with anything. They had to get a helicopter, actually. But the guy who had climbed down, who had rappelled down, he had a rope and he had tied it somewhere and held on with him and held on to me. And later on, I found out he'd been a medic in Vietnam.
Lucky there.
Yeah. So anyhow, that was my scary.
And you're lucky the car didn't blow up and burst into flames.
I think that's only in movies, because it didn't even do that. But they did examine, they did do some inspections on the car, and the drive shaft had broken, but there was no way to prove that it had happened on the road or afterwards.
God, you were lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had something quick about politics.
Yeah, quick about politics. I'm a Bernie supporter, and I'm glad to hear that Craig Hewitt is also. And I wanted to say that Bernie is not going to raise everybody's taxes. He's not proposing to do that. It's only people who are over $250,000 and the one percenters that he would be raising it on, kind of like what Obama had proposed long ago. So it's not for everybody now. And that I think that Hillary's not going to make it.
You still think Bernie's going to pull this off, huh?
I do, because, you know, when you had the guys on that do the timeline,
yep,
and they had brought up that Hillary ends and there's like nothing afterwards on Hillary.
Yeah, it goes down.
You remember that? Yeah, it goes down. There's nothing there. I think something's going to happen to Hillary. And even though Bernie's older, I think Hillary's health is worse. If you look at the two of them, he is vivacious and full of energy.
He's got a lot of energy.
She looks horrible with her bags in her eyes, and she just seems really hypertensive and everything. I think something's going to happen with Hillary. I don't think she's going to make it.
Well, maybe he's using the squatty potty. I mean, that's why he's happy.
Maybe that's it. Maybe everybody should. Maybe we're all.
Oh, my gosh. I'll see you later. Thanks.
All right, bye.
The old squatty potty. Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Oh, this is a tough one for me. It has to do with my deceased brother. He died in 1999.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And he was heavily into the Goo Goo Dolls, which wasn't my style of music. I tried to remind him they used to be called the Sex Maggots before they were changed their name to the Goo Goo Dolls. And
what kind of music did they play?
Oh, it's the same. They've really grown up. They're exceptional now. You guys have used the Goo Goo Dolls as bumper music on your show.
Yeah, but they're still out there playing?
Oh, how do you read my mind? Maybe I know. They are starting tour again on July 16th in Santa Barbara, their Boxes tour, which I wasn't even going to mention. But I, you know, as far as a, you know, I'm going to digress. As far as a paranormal group goes, I don't know of any rock group that's more paranormal than the Goo Goo Dolls. Remember in 1991, they did Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. They did two episodes of Charmed. They played January Friend and Broadway. And they're just, if you read their lyrics, it is so coast-to-coast style, it's frightening. And the lead singer, I'm just spacing on his name temporarily, I can't believe that, Robbie Tackett, he studied radio broadcasting and was doing uncredited voiceovers just a few years ago. He loves radio. I would recommend, if you read the lyrics, especially look at their video, Rebel Beat. I just started a YouTube channel called Rebel Insiders.
They're out of they were out of Buffalo, New York, weren't they?
Yeah, they are. And they're just now coming out of mothballs again, playing, but they've mellowed. Well, actually, I guess I should say they've matured, not mellowed. And they made it through the heavy, heavy metal days, and I'm just impressed with them. I never paid them any attention unless my brother forced me to, and when he died, I put on their music, and I asked him, my brother, who is then deceased in the middle of the Mojave Desert, he was a Class 1 technician landing the space shuttle, he ran telemetry. Artificial intelligent programming, which you know I've done too, so
sure.
We were kind of a tag team. And I said, Bruce, I need some unambiguous sign that you're still here. Please, somehow, give me an unambiguous sign. 2 seconds later, the front glass of the wood-burning stove, guaranteed to 2,300 degrees, exploded from the inside out, except there wasn't a raging fire. There was only a light layer of glowing embers in the middle of it. And then I rented to a family a month later his house, and they had five kids. They had a 2-year-old girl who pointed to the dark room by the stove and said, "Mommy, the man right there is hungry. He wants some spaghetti." Ooh. And the dog used to crack like he was watching somebody walk back and forth. We all went absolutely silent. Only she was 2 years old. I swear, I hope the audience can hear the honesty in my voice. I am not exaggerating one single syllable. My brother and I, after my head injury, and I used a 500,000-volt Tesla coil on the brain-damaged part of my brain for the third time for rehabilitation. My brother and I practiced telepathy. I would look at a card and try and send it to him. George, he called 17 in a row correct.
That it defies any kind of probability. That's amazing.
Now, anyway, I put a link, coincidentally, just yesterday. I only have one video up. It was my paranormaldate.com video. They discontinued the video profile, so I pulled it off Paranormal Date, and I put it up on my YouTube channel. Rebel Insiders, all one word, plural, but you'll see my video introduction, and I'll fill in parts of the story. But please consider getting Robbie an interview when they start their tour. If you listen to their lyrics, watch their lyrics. Don't listen to them. Take the Warner Brother video.
And there's only two? There's only two guys, right?
No, there's three.
Three of them?
One of them...
There was a good John Resnick, I think, was one of them.
Yes, he's also one of the lead. And then there's a replacement that replaced Tusiak, I should remember his name. I'm horrible with names. I mean, you remember everything in the world but names.
There's a drummer in there somewhere, right? Mike?
That's whose name I'm not remembering.
Was it Mike Malinin?
That's it. Because I keep thinking melatonin when I hear Malinin. They're just going to be starting tour in July, of course, major record label Warner Brothers. I swear on everything that's holy. Warner Brothers they appeared on 90210 on the very last season. The very last episode of the last season was also the day, May 13th, 2013. You should listen to your show on that day for your 99-cent promo on Coast Insiders.
Gosh, you're good.
Talk about sun flares. They went like crazy.
All right, my friend. Gary, got to run. I'm running out of time here, but thanks, my friend. Tom, you've got a text for us.
Never fail to amaze me. You know so much about the Goo Goo Dolls.
Well,
it's great.
You know, I used to remember the names and things like that.
But I
thought they were done playing.
But it's great when you talk to a person you don't think of all topics they would know something and they'd say it.
I know.
I mean, you were telling Gary.
I'm a walking encyclopedia.
So we have something from Candace in Iowa. She says, "I heard you talking about dead people, and I wanted to tell you I used to work as an embalmer."
Mm.
I don't get why dead bodies scare people.
Because they're creepy.
Why?
And I think people are afraid they're going to come and wake up.
Back to life, right?
Yeah. And that story I had where they're working on bringing dead people back to life again with stem cells and stuff.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
weird.
Oh, yeah. I delivered a dead body once to a morgue.
What do you mean?
Long time ago.
Whoa. What were you doing?
My father, after he retired, he took a part-time job and he did little deliveries.
He was a police officer.
Yes. And he then went on to work for the Department of Water and Power. And then later on in years, he delivered, well, it was for the church and for a little kind of mortuary.
He delivered
what?
Bodies?
Yeah. Picked him up from the hospital and took him to the morgue. So one night he invited me to go along, and so we're driving, and he'd crack little jokes like, it's a good job, but it's kind of quiet. They don't talk much, and he'd say little jokes like that. So we had brought this body into the morgue, and when we rolled it on the table, and I was just a little kid, right? I kind of dropped his head, and I kind of jumped back, and said, "Don't worry about it." But it was such an experience.
Yeah, something I don't want to have to go through.
No, I don't want to do that again, but,
Okay, thanks, Tom. Time for a few more calls before the break. We go to Gary in Bakersfield, California. Gary, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Dory. Been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
This happened about 27 years ago. One night, my daughter was sick, so I got up about 3 in the morning to go to the only little mini mart that I knew was open at that hour to, you know, get her some Tylenol. And I got about 3 blocks from there, and out of nowhere, in the middle of the road, a flame about 7 feet tall came out. So, you know, I stop and I'm looking, I'm like, what the heck? You know, is this a gas leak? And then the flame turned towards me, and it was shaped just like the devil. It had the long tail, the horns, everything. And it was like taunting me. It just kept going, you know, sideways along the street. Like, you know, are you going to come? Are you going to try and pass? Like, you know, like he knew what I was out to do. And, you know, I probably stayed there for a good minute, you know, looking. And then, you know, and I remembered when I was growing up, my mom used to always tell me, if you ever see something that you're afraid of, just tell God to stand next to you and you'll be all right. So I was like, okay. So
moms knew they were right.
Yeah, so I did. And mind you, I was a big guy. I was 6'2", 300 pounds. So I started moving up towards it. It was still just, you know, back and forth. So finally I said, you know what? I need to get to this store. So I got out of my truck and started walking up towards it. And just like nothing, the flame was gone. So, I started thinking, you know, something's messing with my head. So went back to my truck, popped my bright lights on. It happened because the road where it was at was all scorched.
Jeez. And he's gone. It was gone?
It was gone. But like I said, for about a minute, it just kept looking at me and just going like it goes 6 feet to the left and, you know, back to the right. It just kept going back and forth. Like I said, like it was taunting me, you know, to try and pass.
Well, you lucked out on that.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I've mentioned it to a few people, and, you know, nobody's ever really had an idea or any kind of, you know, semi-answer for me about it. But like I said, you know, even to this day, there's sometimes when I'm out late and I think about it, you know, let's see if it happens again. It's never happened again.
Well, you don't want it to happen again, Gary, that's for sure. I'll tell you what's going to happen again, though. More of your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Interesting times we all live in, is it not? Interesting times. Let's go now to the phones. Truck driving in Connecticut, Ben is with us. Ben, thank you so much. You're on the air with us.
Hey, George, nice to talk to you.
You too. Gosh, by the time you've been on hold so long, you're probably on the West Coast now.
almost to New York.
Jeez.
Hey, I want to give you a little something I haven't heard in a long time.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
That's proof. You're a truck driver.
Hey, I was listening to Clyde Lewis a little earlier tonight, a little bit of the show, and he was talking about how they're growing meat in basically in labs now.
Yes.
You know, from animal blood. And it got my gears turning, and I started thinking, what if, say, you know, all the unexplained things on the planet. We've been on the planet, obviously, for millions of years, like Michael Cremo thinks. And, you know, the pyramids and everything we can't explain. Well, say it's an ancient race, advanced civilization, went underground. And if you lived underground and you had advanced technology such as UFOs and whatnot, you need to eat, right?
That's right.
So the cattle mutilation kind of came to mind when he was talking about them growing meat in laboratories, because they always drained the blood.
Well, that's an interesting take. I mean, I know with what they're doing now, for example, to grow a hamburger would cost $330,000. That's pretty expensive burger.
Wow.
But I guess they get it down cheaper and they mass produce it, who knows what they'll do with that.
But I was thinking that maybe the aliens aren't aliens at all. Maybe they've been here for
a long time. They could be us.
Right. I was wondering if you could ask the doc a question for me.
Tomorrow night? Sure.
Yeah. I haven't ever heard him touch on chronic hives. There's a big name for it. I can't really pronounce.
Chronic hives?
Chronic hives, yeah. A lot of people get them. There's no cure. They either put you on a steroid or they give you antihistamines. And a lot of people, they can't figure out what it is or what's causing it.
And these will be hives all over your body or just your face? Where are they?
They could come and go at different places all the time. In the research that I've done on it, because I've been experiencing it now for almost a year, a lot of people can't figure out. I mean, you can eliminate certain things in your diet and see if, but I've never been allergic to anything. And it's kind of, it's strange.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, very frustrating.
Okay, I'll try to ask him that for you.
And you're going to make it to Boston area?
I hope so. Used to get up to Fitchburg all the time.
Yeah, well, I used to deliver bread in Fitchburg and around that area.
What years did you do that?
It was basically the past 5 years.
Oh, okay. Because my mother's family, they were down, you know where the big rock is in Fitchburg?
I don't know the area that well.
Okay. There's a huge rock in the center of town, a boulder. Huge.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And they were up the hill a little bit. They had they owned the Union Furniture Company in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, with a series of apartments that we stayed at in the summer whenever we left Detroit. Nice area. Okay, hey, thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. Drive carefully. Tom in the Bronx, welcome to Coast, Tom. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, George.
Hey, Tom.
I'd like to say that years back, I knew a gentleman who claimed he was psychic. I believed him. And he was also a hunter. He was in Pennsylvania, and he was tired one day. Well, hunting, and he went to sleep. He woke up around, and this was like in the forest. He woke up around midnight, as the story goes, and he had gotten up, and it was very dark. And he claims that he walked through the night, close to 30 miles, or maybe a little more. And his eyes light up like they were flashlights as he walked through the forest.
Huh.
And in other words, and in the morning, he was knocking on a farmer's door, and he was 30 miles away from where he started.
And he has no idea how he got there.
He just said he walked through the night, and his eyes light up like flashlights. He said he was able to see.
His eyes literally lit up his...
Just like flashlights.
That's weird.
It is weird, but this guy...
That's weird.
This guy had a lot of different qualities about him. I mean, I've had a situation, too. I told you one time, my mother and I communicated. I was in Boston, she was in New York.
By telepathy, right?
By telepathy, but this guy has his own variety. His own variety and stuff. He had so many different things happen to him.
What do you think was up with him?
He was just the way he was. That's all. He finally moved away from the building I was in, and we lived a terrible adventure together.
Do you think he was a human being, though?
No.
He
was this fellow that lived in my building. That's how I got to know him. He lived a terrible adventure. We both did through a terrible story, but that's another story.
Save that for another time. Speaking of Tom's, final text message.
Yes, from Lindsay in Virginia. I have to say I don't fear death, but I'm not in a hurry. I like people like Daniel Brinkley because he makes it seem like a positive experience. I think people fear death because it's the unknown. Do you agree?
I think Daniel enjoys dying. Because he keeps coming back to talk about it.
He does. But I think she's right.
It's like a dream state, I think. A continual dream. But I think when you're dead, you don't get out of the dream.
But I think the fear is because you don't know the unknown and what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. I hear you do impressions of people.
No, not at all.
That's what I heard.
You're hearing from
me. You're not going to do any at our stage shows or anything.
Oh, maybe I will. Yeah, that'd be good.
Can you do my buddy Peter Vaccaro in St. Louis?
No, because nobody knows him. It doesn't matter.
What do you mean nobody knows him? They know him in St. Louis. Well, he's an announcer.
That's not what he does. He'd be like, I'm an announcer. That's Peter, but not too many people, I mean, outside of St. Louis, maybe, don't know
Peter. He's like Michael Buffer. You know who he is?
Of course I know who Michael Buffer is.
Well, that's how Peter is. All right, we still got some open lines here to go. Tom, thanks. We go next to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ed, thanks for holding. You're up with us.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure thing. I'm sitting here with my two little doggies, like I was telling Tom a while ago, my little Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, they're great.
12 years old, my little rat terrier, she's 8.
My buddy has a Jack Russell out here in L.A., the guy who runs a paranormal date for us, and loves that dog.
Oh, gosh.
God, he loves it.
Before I met Sharon, I didn't have any pets at all, right? Now, I met Sharon 10 years ago, and she passed away. Several years after we were together. But anyhow, when she came along, she came complete with a rat terrier. And I just fell in love with animals. And those little dogs, we ended up with 2 right off the bat. Next thing I know, we were getting a 3rd one. One of them passed away, had epilepsy. And I had to take care of it while it had epilepsy, giving it phenobarbital 3 times a day and, you know, giving it potassium bromide. And Sharon was a caregiver. She took care of senior citizens. So while she's at work,
wonderful.
I had to take care of the animals.
Sure.
You know? Of course, she said, I don't know how you're going to do that without eyesight, Ed, but hey, wasn't a problem. But, you know, Roxy's 12, going on 13.
That's old for a dog.
Yeah, I know, and I'm kind of worried because I got to take her in Thursday to get a tooth pulled. Here about 2 weeks ago, her jaw swelled up on her.
Oh, jeez.
I knew she was sick. A buddy of mine came by, and he looked at her and said her jaw was swollen. I thought, oh, my gosh. I knew then she probably had an abscess tooth because she is getting up here in years. So I got her appointment scheduled, take her in Thursday to get her tooth extracted, but they're going to put a monitor on her because dogs, sometimes, they don't come out from under the anesthesia.
That's right.
And I think a lot of that depends upon their age. Now, she's healthy. I take good care of my dogs. I treat them just like I would children, right? And
it's so important that they weigh the dog first and really know exactly what amount of anesthesia to use.
I'm scared, George. I'll be honest with you, because this dog, I love this little dog. In fact, it brings me to tears when I think about the possibility of something happening to her. And, of course, JJ is a young dog, but Roxy, you know, she's been
right.
They're
like your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything's happened to her, it devastated me. I lost one dog already that just devastated me, you know. These little old dogs, we'd go to bed at night, and the routine was like this. Sharon and I'd go to bed. The little doggies would jump right up there on the end of the bed with us. Right on the end. And to this day, even Sharon's gone. These little dogs, when I go to bed, they go to bed.
Yeah.
They go in there and jump up in the bed with me. I mean, Roxy will be on the right side of me. JJ will be at the end.
Well, let's hope the vet knows exactly what they're doing.
Oh, my God, I hope so. Yeah. Man, I told him, I said, listen, y'all need to understand this dog means a lot to me. So, you know, but she's got to get that tooth out of there because otherwise it's just going to swell up on her.
Well, it gets infected, it'll be even worse.
Oh, well, the poison will kill a dog.
That's right.
We lost one dog that way, you know. But, George, I'm going to tell you about a video. A buddy of mine called me the other night, and he said, now, I'm not a Trump man, okay? Actually, Ted Cruz was the guy I liked, but he's out of it. But anyways, A buddy of mine called me the other night, and him and I conversed quite a bit about political stuff and prophecies and tying it in with the Bible, and we also talk about, you know, global world order, like oligarchy, like Greg Hewlett was talking about. We're aware of all that stuff, right? Anyway, I said, Ed, you got to go listen to this video on YouTube. And the name of the video, if you get a chance to check it out, is called 2011 Trump Prophecy. And this fireman, don't know the guy's name, I didn't get a chance to listen to the video because my computer's kind of took a dump on me. So anyhow, this fireman had a word of knowledge from God. I don't know how this came about, and I can't tell you it's 100% accurate. Now, Tim listened to it, and he was moved by it. He said God is going to use Trump to bring this country back for several more years of prosperity. Now, that was
interesting.
Well, that was supposed to have happened in 2011, but here we are now in 2016, and Trump right now stands a very good chance. In fact, I think it's almost a certainty that he probably will make it to the White House.
Well, you don't know that yet.
Well, no, and it might be premature to say that, but, you know, I'm not a Trump man, okay, because his mannerism is what bothers me. He's very rough around the edges, and, you know, and I just, you know, some of the things he says, like coming out and making that comment about Ted Cruz's dad.
Yeah, I know.
That was over the edge. Yeah. But anyhow, you know, check that video out. I'm going to myself as soon as I get my computer up and going, but he was kind of
all right, and let us know how the dog ends up, okay?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm worried about
we'll
Roger.
Say
he's right here beside me right now. I got
say a little prayer up for you, to be sure. Ed, thanks. Let's go to Alberta, Canada. Jack's with us on the international line. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, George.
Hi there.
I was beginning to get a little worried I wasn't going to get in tonight.
Yeah, I saw the time. You've been there for an hour. Jeez.
Almost, yeah. Hey, I got a scary story for you that's still ongoing.
Okay, what's up?
Fort McMurray, Alberta. That's where the oil sands are at, the dirty, filthy tar sands, some people are saying. Well, I got a wildfire that started yesterday up there, and it's caused the evacuation of the entire city. 82,700 and some odd people.
Oh, my
largest
God.
Evacuation in the province of Alberta's history.
Where are they going?
Well, that's the big problem is they, for a long time, they couldn't go south, which there's only one road that leaves out of the city. And so they were going north, and that only takes them up to the camps. And there's a few native lodges up there, but mostly to the oil sands camps.
Can they get these fires under control?
Oh, no, they're still burning wild. They've actually preempted your show from the two Alberta stations. They're running nonstop information.
Oh, yeah, they've got to do that.
Yeah, they've actually sent, from the city of Edmonton, they've sent four fire trucks, some air packs, and 18 firefighters. They left at 8 o'clock tonight, our time, and they're expected in the city actually about 3 a.m.
You need some rain yet up that way, don't you?
Oh, man, yeah. The temperature predicted for tomorrow is going to be 87 Fahrenheit.
God, that's hot.
Up there with strong winds.
Let's do a mass consciousness for rain out in that for Alberta, huh?
Yeah, that's why I called, to see if we could get the power of a lot of positive minds.
All right.
Help for the people up there.
Let's trust people start doing that.
Here, here.
Okay, Jack.
Thank you, George.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Evacuating thousands of people out there. My gosh. Sal is in Austin, Texas. First-time caller. Sal, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
hey,
Sal.
First-time caller. Really love the show. I've been listening for a long time since my dad listened back in the...
Well, thank you for...
I don't know, for a long time. Now, the reason why I called in is that guy, I heard him talking about how he saw a fire turn into what he, you know, described as a devil.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather saw a similar thing. It happened to be tumbleweed. It looked like tumbleweed to him coming down a hill. He used to work out in, you know, on the fields and doing some work. So him and his buddy were out there working, and his buddy said, "Hey, Oscar, look, there's fire up there. It looks like a tumbleweed on fire." And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's nothing. Don't worry about it." And he says, "Well, look, the ground is not burning." And my grandfather looked back over there and he says, "Yeah, it's not burning." And it started coming down the hill towards where they were at. And so they, you know, jumped in this little shack that they had out there in the field. And he jumped in there, and the guy was getting scared, and his son, Oscar, I don't want to die right now. And he says, well, I don't know what it is. And outside, you know, they could hear screeching and scratching and all kinds
Jeez.
Of, you know.
But whatever it was on fire, though, right?
Well, it looked like it was on fire, but there was no burning. There's no trail. There's no scorching.
No smoke, nothing.
Nothing. It was just like a tumbleweed. The way he described it to me was it was like a tumbleweed of fire.
Did it look like a body at all?
No.
Just the tumbleweed.
It's like a big ball of tumbleweed fire coming towards him. And so my grandfather said, you know what? Man up. Let's go out there. If it's our time to die, it's our time to die.
They went right for it, huh?
Yeah, well, he opened the door, and my grandfather was not he was not a person you wanted to be around. He was a real ruthless kind of man.
I only got 20 seconds left, Sal, because I'm done with the show. So what happened real fast?
So he opens the door, and all they smell is the smell of sulfur. It's just the strong smell of sulfur and nothing, no burning.
And they saw nothing else after that? Jeez, that's strange. Lots of strange things happening on this planet. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.